Brenda threatened to club her. She was trying to get up. I'll order her to lay in her bed for a week if she tries again. Threaten her with that if you need to, Five.
Yes, sire,
Nanny said, clearly uncomfortable. Alex looked at the big woman for a second before facing Riley. Leaning in close to her, he whispered into her ear. One, would you please make sure my tent is in perfect order? I didn't get a chance to give it a once-over, and as my personal maid, I've come to rely on you for my own comforts. Riley gave him a beautiful smile and bobbed her head.
Immediately, master, she chirped.
Letting go of his arm, she walked away demurely, heading straight for his tent, her collar tinkling prettily the whole way. Apparently, Valeria had gotten the hint and left with Riley, her fingers trailing along Alex's shoulder as she passed him. Come with me, Five, Alex said, pointing to one side where no one else was. Nanny shuffled along behind him, her eyes wandering around. Talk to me, Five. What's wrong? Alex asked, trying to get her to make eye contact with him.
Wrong?
She asked, her eyes finally coming to rest on him. Yeah, what's wrong? I feel like I could go straight to fondling you and you'd just stare at me. Something is going on in that head of yours. What is it, Five? Apparently, Nanny wasn't used to being called out like that, to the point that her response was uncharacteristic. She dropped her gaze to the ground. Alex reached out and gently lifted her chin with a finger. It felt oddly similar to the way he'd forced Valeria to meet his eyes. Five, talk to me. She blinked a few times, her head slowly shaking back and forth. Are you ill? Unwell? Did something happen?
No, I don't know.
Alex frowned, thinking hard on Nanny and the recent turn of events. The only thing that had changed was he valued her in an obvious way. He'd named her champion, depended on her, and relied on her. On top of that, it was clear that since then, the other numbers had started showing her the same respect they held for each other. Is it that she's unsure how to behave in a group that accepts her for what she is? A killer who gets off on violence? Five, you really did well by me. Great, even. I respect what you've done for me. I'll not forget it. I must continue to rely on you for all that you are. I need Nanny, my Five. I don't need you to be anyone else but that, Alex said, trying to hopefully cut to the heart of what was bothering her. Yeah? She asked, her cheeks flushing. Mm-hmm. I need you to be you. My fearsome, savage, bloodthirsty, murdering, violence-loving Five. Okay? You want that? Nanny asked, her voice breaking in the last word. Of course. That's who my champion is, isn't it? Nanny nodded her head. Now, clear your head of whatever nonsense is in there until you're ready to talk about it. If you don't, I'll have you warming my bed tonight. I just sent one to get it all prepped, just for you. I even told her to buy some delousing powder, since you're such a filthy monster, Alex said, grinning at her. Nanny's head twitched, and then she gave him a feral grin. Couldn't handle me, she said, standing up straighter. You say that, but all I'd really have to do is pet you nicely and tell you to lay down. I bet you're even softer than one under all that tasty evil of yours, Alex said, prodding her right between her breasts with a finger. Some cuddling, a bit of caressing, a few kisses here and there. I bet you'd melt with some genuine attention. Wouldn't you like to find out? I would. Soon enough, Five, you'll be nothing more than a bed decoration, asking for belly rubs and loving kisses, Alex said.
I'll fucking kill you and feed your dick to wild animals, she said, her rage starting to build.
Is that your way of saying you'll kneel placidly in front of me, take it in the mouth, and ask for more with those pretty eyes of yours, Five?
I swear to the high heavens and lowest hells, I'll pull your head off and grind one out on your skull, she growled, all sense of humor now lost. Actually, go lay down in my bed, Five. You can wait for me eagerly to return to take you tonight, Alex said, pointing back at the tent. Nanny darted forward, pressing her forehead to his, her eyes nothing but hate. I'll see you dead, then I'll murder all your pets, she promised. Want a real threat? Stay here for another 2 seconds and I'll give you a kiss, Alex said. Nanny shot upright after a second of confusion, her arms folding across her chest. Her lips were raised in a snarl, any sense of what she was saying lost between her teeth. Good. Glad to see you back to normal, though it was kind of cute when you were confused. I probably should have fondled you when I had the chance, Alex said, then deliberately patted her on the rear end twice. Without waiting for her response, Alex looked back out to the approach. Nanny's roar was impressive, and he could actually feel her breathing down his neck. Just don't leave a mark if you're going to start necking me. It can be a bit embarrassing to explain, Alex said, his eyes searching the field.
Insufferable asshole! Nanny shouted at the top of her lungs.
Dan had kept his troops close to Count Din. There was clearly some conversation going on between the two. Then he saw them flee up over the distant rise, heading straight for him. It was a flood of allied troops, all running pell-mell in a mob towards the defenses.
That can't be good, Alex said glumly.
Huh? Nanny said, her rapid breathing against his neck coming to a stop.
I think our forces weren't just routed, but are still being chased. The question becomes, are they far enough ahead of the enemy that they can all get through the gate in time? Or do I close it on them? Alex said.
Close it! Fuck 'em! Not ours, Nanny said, her voice an irritated growl.
That may be so, but I do have to at least look like a count, now don't I? Alex muttered.
I guess we'll find out when they get closer. Let's hope this is just me being overly concerned. They couldn't do much other than stare and wait, watching as troops from a number of different levies swarmed toward them.
It looks like everyone. It isn't really from one vassal or another, Alex muttered.
That'd mean everything fell apart, yeah? Nanny asked.
Alex nodded and started over to the gate. Count Den was just now passing through.
Count Den, what's the word?
Alex asked the other count. A man in his middle years turned to face Alex, his wispy brown hair and brown eyes looking equally defeated.
The Duke is captured. The entire force is routed. The enemy has the field.
All for his damn pride, the count shouted, spiking his own helmet into the ground. Our entire duchy is going to end up beggaring itself just to pay off the ransom, I'm sure.
Sounds like it's time to pull out, then. Any reason those fools are running like hell is behind them? Alex said, pointing out to the field.
Fear, Count Den said, then shook his head angrily. Fear and stupidity. I'm heading home. This is pointless and done. As the third in command, and what I believe to be the highest-ranking vassal not captured, I disband this force.
Count Den kicked his helmet to the side and stormed off with his men.
We can go home? Nanny asked.
That we can, Five. Though I think this isn't the end of the situation. I think it's just going to get worse.
Officially, Duke Tanulf stood and fought to the last man in his command tent. Unofficially, he killed himself in his cell and shit himself. His daughter was now the Duchess, and Alex's casus belli transferred to her instead. She could always uphold Alex's victory over Count Ridge, which would clean that mess up quickly. But Alex didn't think she would. She'd honestly have more pressing things to worry about, like securing her titles before others could move on her. Her father had left her in a very precarious position, to say the least.
depleted forces from a butcher's bill a mile long. Lost equipment and material? Several counts that'd have to be ransomed back from Galus. No, Regina won't be looking to assist me. She won't even be looking to me at all. I can use this to my advantage. Riley was seated at a table in his study, looking downhearted and dispirited.
Do I have to go back to my cell, Master? Can't I remain as your personal maid?
She asked for perhaps the 20th time. Anna clucked her tongue and lifted a finger in the air, looking at Riley. She was standing next to Alex as he sat at his desk.
Does a personal maid address her master as such? Asked his wife.
No, mistress, Riley said, shaking her head.
Now I know my husband, Anna said, laying a hand on Alex's shoulder. He'll need something from you to give you such a thing. My understanding is he has already bent over backward to keep you alive, let alone looking so healthy and fit.
Riley nodded her head a little at that.
And you were guilty, weren't you?
Anna said. It wasn't even a question to her. Riley nodded her head again after a second.
Husband is a man with needs. If you want to remain his personal maid, you'll need to truly be his personal maid. I believe he has an understanding with, two?
Anna asked, looking to Alex. And three, Alex admitted.
Oh, good. We'll work on the big one next. Five, was it?
Anna said, leaning into his side. Then she looked back to Riley.
Husband will need you to submit your body once a week and your mouth once a week to his needs. I believe if you offered that, you'd get your wish as a personal maid.
But I have my maidenhead. I was too,
Riley said, slowly shaking her head.
Think on it. I'll give you till the end of today to decide. Now go, attend your duties until midnight, then report to your cell. I had it cleaned, and even added a bit of color for you, Anna said.
Riley got up, bowed to them, and left quickly. Alex grinned up at Anna. You're a ruthless snake.
I only do what I know my husband wishes. Daddy likes what you did with the economy here, and said to leave it alone for now, and to watch it carefully. I filled your dungeon with pretty women with crimes large enough for you to be in judgment of them. Though I did make sure they were, clean. I didn't want you to dirty yourself with anything too reprehensible, Anna said, smiling at him in her simple way. At least we can give them something to do, rather than hang, and get the most benefit out of them for you. Though we ran out of room, and I had to start putting two of them into each cell. Douglas didn't like that.
Anna was different. Wonderfully so. Different in the kind of way only a woman without a clear understanding of reality could be. To bind, imprison, and fill a dungeon full of pretty women for her husband to use. You're the best thing in my life, Alex said, wrapping an arm around Anna's hips.
Yes, I am. Have you decided to get rid of Holly yet?
Anna asked, jumping subjects as was her norm. Huh?
You already conquered her, husband. She has little value to your deals. She'd lick the ground from here to the gate if you told her to. She might as well be a puppy, Anna said with a sad frown. I like her, but she doesn't do you any good. We should do something nice for her when you divorce her.
When I divorce her?
Sylvia is a nice girl, by the way. She didn't think she told me much, but she told me enough. She's rather simple for you to finish up with. You just need to wait. It seems like all her plans went awry the moment you caught her. She's been working to fix it, but now that she's more or less your concubine, no one is coming near her who could actually help solve her problem.
Anna was speaking rapidly now, her mind buzzing along as if it were one long, continuous thought.
Oh, and the crystal pillar has some black at the bottom of it. You must have made some good deals. Tell me about it over dinner tonight, Anna said,
draping herself around his shoulders.
I can't wait to hear about who you conquered. Was it a noblewoman?
It was.
I knew it! Only a noblewoman would have that much pride. Did you clean her when you finished in her? Two complains about that every time you do it in her, and she doesn't look good. Were you too rough with her? Don't break your women. Though, to be honest, it does kinda leak everywhere after you're done, Anna said, looking down to her hips as if she could see into herself.
Then her eyes snapped back up to him, and she gave him that wide smile of hers.
I missed you, husband, she said,
her arms tightening around him.
Wine me, dine me, and make love to me? Make me feel like your wife?
Alex grinned, overwhelmed by her, as he always was. Of course, wife. Lead the way, and I'll follow those hips of yours anywhere. Anna snuck in close and gave him a quick kiss, then pressed her face to his neck, making delighted chirping noises. Either so smart she's insane, or so dense she's perfect. Don't care which. She's just what I needed. Alex sighed and laid his cheek to her head, feeling the weights of his life fall to the ground with a crack. He was home. Chapter 26. Walter seemed harried, pressed, one could say.
Calm down, you'll give yourself a heart attack, Alex said, watching the older man across the table.
Well, I never expected you to return with wealth and troops both. Perhaps one and not the other, but not both, Walter said, looking at the paper in front of him. This is a significant amount of money. This is accurate? Walter asked, looking up.
According to Dan, but I trust him. He seems a good soldier to me.
And we stole, borrowed, all of this from Count Frennis?
That's who owned the supply depot they torched.
Torched? Burnt it right to the ground.
Walter wiped his face with his hand, blinking several times.
I must say, lately, you've not been yourself at all. Your humor has changed completely. You alter our entire economy for the better. You even curb your own impulses, and then single-handedly lose a war, but come back as if you were victorious, Walter said. I am truly at a loss.
He's not wrong. I did end up just becoming me, didn't I?
Well, me with a lot less morals.
It's easy to force people under the knife when you live under it yourself. No antitrust laws. No regulation. No police.
I suppose so, Walter. Just consider it a rebirth after my kidnapping. It forever changed me. Now, do you have any actual concerns or worries we should work out?
No, not really. Though your wife, Walter started.
I have two.
The simple one.
Okay, what about her?
She's been absconding with women from the courts. I can't find out what happens to them after. They just vanish.
Ah, worry not. She's working on a project for me. I promise it was done with my approval, and everything is according to my law. Anything else?
No, my lord. Nothing at present.
Alex nodded, then stood up. Walking over, he clapped the older man on the shoulder lightly.
It'll be well, Walter. This is a new chapter for us. Maybe I'll get that ducal title back. You should probably start looking into which vassals are de jure to the Duke of Brit. They'd be the first to go after.
If we do go after any.
Exiting his study, Alex headed off to Carla's private room. He wanted to check in on her and make sure she was there, and resting.
Worried for your pet? Nanny grumbled, walking beside him.
Just as worried as I would be for you, Five.
Not your pet.
Yet.
Eventually. I'm glad you're letting your hair grow out a bit. Looks better. Though I think you shouldn't let it get too long, either.
Nanny reached up with a hand and ran her fingers over her prickly skull.
Gonna shave it.
You could do that. I think it'd be a loss, though.
A loss?
I bet with a short hairstyle you'd be rather pretty, Five. Think on it. Growling under her breath, Nanny said nothing. Unless you want to crawl into my bed and wait for me, you should probably stay in the entryway, Alex said, opening the door to his private living area.
Is that all you ever think about, fucker?
Often, yes. Hard not to. I mean, look at you. So, in the bed, or right here, Alex said, waving at a point just inside. Not waiting for the reply, he went off to find Carla.
Surprise you one day, be in your bed with a god's damned blade, Nanny called at his back.
Stopping in front of Carla's door, Alex knocked twice. Yes, came a voice from inside. It sounded like Carla, at least, but he wasn't sure. May I come in? Master? Carla asked, Alex finally identifying her voice. Her tone sounded rather awkward, though. Indeed, I'm alone. May I?
Yes. Come in.
Opening the door, Alex stepped inside and closed it behind himself. Her room was larger than one would expect it to be. It was also furnished and tastefully decorated, better than he remembered. Looking around, Alex was surprised.
Mistress Anna did it, Carla said.
Her voice guided his eyes to the bed. A rather modest affair, but it looked quite comfortable with expensive bedding. She said since I shared a bed with you at times, my room needed to be fit to receive you, Carla said, as if she needed to explain herself. I won't argue with Anna. If anything, I'd agree with her, though more for the sake that you've earned it rather than anything else. Alex walked over to the side of the bed and leaned in, peering at her temple. It certainly looks better.
So I'm told, Carla said, eyeing him.
How are you feeling?
Well enough. Nanny came in earlier to give me shit. Dumb, bloodthirsty bitch, Carla muttered, her mouth turning into a frown.
I get the impression she doesn't know how to show her emotions. Much like a certain murdering bandit, I know, Alex said, leaning back from Carla's head wound.
Ass?
I'd try to grab it for you, but I think you'd have to lean to one side or the other for me to get to it. Carla started to snarl at him, then abruptly smiled and laughed softly.
You're such a spoiled twat,
Alex shrugged. I'm told that often enough, or something along those lines. Do you need anything?
No, but company would be nice. It's a bit lonely locked off in a room.
Thinking on that, he couldn't help but agree. He'd probably go stir-crazy himself.
How about I move you to my bed? Not insinuating anything by that, mind you, and have one keep you company. She's a nice girl. Anna would drop by from time to time as well, I imagine.
You wouldn't try anything? Carla asked, her disbelief clear.
Not a thing.
Even if I fell asleep in your bed tonight?
Even then, though I might peek a bit.
Okay, I'd stare and try to look at you from every angle, but no touching, promise.
Swear it on Leah.
I swear on Leah that I'll make no move against you tonight, regardless of where you rest your head. Carla let out a breath, and then flipped the sheets back, revealing that she was completely nude.
Great. I couldn't get my stupid ass into my clothes. Got dizzy and just lay down instead. Help me get dressed into a nightshirt and then into your bed.
Fuck me. Looking into the cell, Alex was rather confused. Anna had said each cell contained two when he'd spoken to her about it. What she failed to mention was that each cell had been divided into two on top of that.
I think we need to expand the dungeon further, Doug said, sounding rather sheepish.
I would tend to agree, Alex said, then sighed. It's my fault. Countess Britt is a good woman who does exactly as she's told or allowed, without concern. Valeria didn't say anything, apparently remembering her own time in a similar cell here.
Are they at least comfortable?
Oh, yes, sire. Well fed, left alone,
and we make sure there's no funny business one way or the other. A handful made trouble, but we locked them into that attached warehouse. Into the coffins there, to be clear.
Coffins, Doug?
Yes, sire.
Why do we have coffins?
Mistress Anna bought them and put them there.
Okay, but why?
Sire, I don't honestly know.
Sighing, Alex scratched his head.
So you put them in coffins and locked them in?
Yes.
And did they behave after that?
Most did. There's one still locked in.
Let's see that one first, I suppose. Get a team of people to dig another level to the dungeon for now. I'll speak to the Countess.
Alex shook his head and gestured to Doug to lead on. Following his dungeon guard captain gave him some time to think on how to handle the situation. But even then, Alex was unprepared. The warehouse was full of coffins, stacked several high, as far back as he could see.
Yes. I see, Alex said expansively.
It had been meant as a storage area for items that could be used in deals, which were still there, thankfully, at least as much as he could see of them.
Coffins, Doug said. And this is the one with our guest in it. She's shackled as well. She kept trying to claw at people when we opened it up.
Doug indicated one coffin that had been pulled down from the racks and set in the center. Rapping on the lid twice, Doug then pulled out his key set and went to work opening it. When it popped open, a woman sat up immediately, her hands reaching out despite being shackled to the inside.
"I'll kill you all," she shouted.
"No, you'll stop, or I'll just have you impaled and put out in my front lawn, like a decoration for the crows," Alex said, stepping up to her. She had dark black hair that was wildly uncombed across her face. Dark eyes peered out at him from between strands of her hair. He had no idea what she looked like.
"And who are you, Prissy Pants?" she asked.
"Count Britt. And you?"
She didn't respond, just stared at him.
"Look, it's rather simple, and I don't have time for your games," Alex said. "You either swear on a god-backed oath to me to be civil, protect my secrets, and not betray me, or you go back in the coffin, and then back to whatever fate you were going to meet before the Countess pulled you out. That's it."
The mess of black hair didn't move for several seconds.
"And if I agree?"
"Then you go back in the coffin until I can get a cell ready for you, since you can't seem to play nice. Unless you can swear to play nice, too."
"Coffin."
"Right. Swear to Leah that you'll be civil to me and my people, that you'll keep my secrets and privacy, not betray me at any level, and harm no one in my employ, including yourself."
"Yes, yes, I swear all that."
"On your life and soul?"
"On my life and my, soul?"
There was a strange buzz in his ear, followed by a soft crackling sound. Then nothing. The black-haired mess lay back down in the coffin, seemingly content. A small smile played across her lips.
"Do you want the shackle off?" Alex asked, indicating her hands.
"Yes."
"All right. You take care of her, Doug. I'm going to see one. Three, go find your prospects," Alex said, leaving the three of them there in the coffin warehouse.
On entering one's cell, Alex found her sitting right where he expected her. Riley had sat herself on the edge of her bed and waited there, unmoving, he imagined.
"Master," she said, jumping to her feet and moving straight to the bars.
"Hello, one," Alex said, coming to stand next to her. "How are you?"
"I'm very well, Master. Should I strip for you?"
"No, not anymore. Your uniform and collar really do look good on you. It'd be a shame to dirty them right now. Remember?"
"Yes, Master. Of course, Master."
"Have you decided?" "I'm afraid my time is limited, and I really can't stay here long. There's lots to do. I'm partially concerned that the Duke of Galis will be bringing his troops around.
There's nothing preventing him from doing so, other than, well, nothing. Marley looked alarmed at that, her hands tightening on the bars between them.
Master, I'm unsure. I secretly hoped that you would release me?
Riley asked, looking up at him. I do believe I told you that would never happen, Juan, that you're mine, until you collapse and die. Riley nodded her head and pressed her forehead to the bars.
I'm guilty of the crimes. I did do those things. But it was for my family. I've been sending them all the pay I receive.
All of it?
Yes, Master, all.
Do you want to talk about it at all?
No, I don't.
Ah, all right. Your story is yours. I'm afraid that doesn't change the situation, though. By all rights, you should already be dead. Instead, you face life imprisonment. I'll make this offer to you, and then we'll move on, regardless of you saying yes or no, Alex said. Are you willing to barter?
Yes, Master,
Riley said, not lifting her head. It'll be exactly as the Countess said, though with a few tweaks. Previously, you received pay equal to a personal maid's. What if I gave you pay equivalent to that of a personal maid serving a count? I imagine it'd be a few gold more. Riley's face turned to the side, as if considering his words.
Can I get more?
More what, exactly?
Money.
We could consider that, but I'd want more from you in exchange. Every night in my bed or on your knees, at my beck and call, till your heart gives out or you die.
I know,
Riley said. She gave him a small smile, gazing up at him in abject defeat. Suddenly, Alex couldn't do it. He couldn't force her to give up everything she was to him. Not this poor soul who doted on him and did all he asked of her, but who still had a tiny bit of pride in herself at some level. He could crush her ruthlessly if he chose, and she'd probably accept it. And he couldn't do it. I'll need you to arrange an entire detail of personal maids for me, all who are willing to swear themselves to life and death in my service, their very souls to my secrecy, to me personally. You'll be able to pick them out from anyone the Countess detains, but I'd get final say. I'll double your pay for being their supervisor. Riley's head jerked up, her face now wedged between the bars as she stared up at him.
Double? To be the boss of a group of personal maids? She asked.
Yes. Though the earlier part of the deal still remains. One night in my bed a week, and one night on your knees a week.
Of course, Master. I swear to all of that. Immediately. Please let me out, and if possible, can I get an advance on this year's pay?
Why is that the first thing they all ask for? That's fine, but I'll want... Fine. That's fine. Go see Walter, Alex said, pulling his key out of his pocket and unlocking the cell. Riley shoved the door open and smashed into him with a rib-crushing hug.
Thank you, Master. I'm worth it, I promise.
Of course, Juan, Alex said, patting her atop the head lightly. Then she was off like a rocket, exiting the cell and gone. He could hear her practically running down the hallway. Getting soft on me? Asked a scratchy voice. Right on cue. Usually, said the shadow he knew as Leah. She stood in the center of the cell, unmoving. Is there a reason you appear like that? Is it theatrics, or... I mean, we both know you're a woman, that you're married. It was neat when we first met in that room in Nowhere, but now? Alex asked. Moving into the cell, he sat down at the table and looked up to the owner of his soul. Huh. That's fair, said the shadow, and snapped her fingers. A woman popped into being. She was dressed in black leathers, with red peeking out from the interior. He could easily call her pretty, with features that were clean, straight, almost put together with purpose. She had tawny-colored hair that was trimmed short, almost a hairstyle he could recognize from his previous life, but couldn't quite name. Dark, emerald eyes seemed to inspect him as he inspected her.
"Don't get any ideas. I'm a married woman, and I'd carve out your eyes if I thought you were even considering it. You've been a lot more flirty with your women as of late as well," she said in a far more normal tone.
"Perish the thought. I'll simply say your husband is a lucky man. Is that acceptable?" Alex said, trying to appeal to her strange devotion to the man.
Yes, that's acceptable.
Good. I like that.
Yes, I'll tell him that," she said with a snicker, her face going from serious to childlike delight in an instant.
"As to going soft on you," Alex said with a sigh, putting his chin in his hand and beginning to toy with his lower lip.
"Maybe. I just couldn't do it. She's a good little thing. She gives quite a bit to me without receiving much.
And after Mary, you've had doubts," said Leah.
"A few, though in the end, it's their choice. It was harder with one. Riley, I know her. Much more intimately, even though I bedded the Baroness several times."
Leah nodded her head, then scratched at her neck.
"That's fair. You haven't let me down, and you've been storing up a great amount of power for me. I'll not complain about you giving someone mercy on occasion, so long as you're working to fill my pillar."
Of course, Alex said, still unsure of himself.
"Cheer up. You're doing well. And this might sound a bit, well, wishy-washy, but so far you haven't ruined anyone. All those women you've collected so far had a set fate. You intervened and have given them longer lives than they were due," Leah said, coming to stand over him.
Lifting his head, he peered up at her.
"Yeah?" he asked.
"Mm-hmm.
My husband would approve of the result, if not the means. He's a bit of a softy lately, though he did have a flash of anger the other day."
"Oh? And what does a god with you as a wife get angry about?"
"He was interested in something, and it got away from him, right out from under his nose. It dove down into the depths, and he couldn't chase after. Now he just watches," Leah said, her mouth pursed in thought.
Then she pointed at him with a smile.
"Ah, you're distracting me by talking about Luffy. Good tactic."
Alex gave her a lopsided grin.
"What's next, then?" he asked. "Nothing out of the ordinary, really. You keep earning deals. Fill up the pillar. You manage to do that, and I'll get you a new one, plus a large favor for you."
"Seems like a pretty straightforward direction, I guess. Any possibility I can get Anna to take oaths on my behalf? At least for secrecy and non-betrayal and the like? It'd make things easier."
Oh, that's fine. She's your wife, after all. Lovey is still rather upset with me over that soul you gave me last time. Apparently it was rather pure and full of goody-goody things. He was ever so annoyed with me. Punished me lots. He put a collar on me and walked..."
She paused, and then looked off into the distance.
"Gotta go."
Leah vanished as if she were never there. Chapter 27 Alex tapped lightly on the door leading into Sylvia's room. Leaning up against it, he folded his arms across his chest and waited.
"Yes?"
came the voice from within. "I've come to pay my respects," Alex said, somehow managing to keep any mockery from his tone.
"Is it my lord?"
Sylvia asked. "Indeed. I was one..." The door jerked open, and Alex practically fell inside her room. Stumbling forward,
He managed to right himself before he hit the ground.
"Are you all right?" Sylvia asked, holding the door open and peering at him.
Yes. I was... Forget that. Yes, I'm fine. Just wasn't expecting you to open the door so quickly, Alex said.
Why wouldn't I?
Sylvia asked, tilting her head to one side and smiling at him.
I'm your concubine, aren't I? I'm supposed to be ever waiting for your appearance. I'm quite sure the maids have all been gossiping that I wasn't your first visitation. Instead, you went back into the dungeon.
Ha! I doubt that very much. If any of them did talk about any of that, Leah would have a fresh soul, and I'm sure she'd be chattering my ear off.
Wait, the maids are sworn to secret... Leah talks to you? Sylvia asked, her voice going up in volume with the last word.
She quickly shut the door after checking the hallway. Shit. Whatever. She's already aware of the game anyways, and if Anna is right, all I have to do is sit on her long enough.
Sometimes, if I'm good enough, Alex said, looking around Sylvia's living space. Nothing had changed except for an added armoire.
I take it you got all those clothes you wanted? He asked, pointing at the new addition.
I did indeed, though I really must insist that we discuss me owning things while I'm here. It's bad enough that I manage my household at this distance, but if I have no guests for the day or visitors, I go a bit mad.
Unless you want to find a corpse, you will entreat with me, Sylvia said, lifting her chin up and folding her arms low across her stomach.
That's fine, Alex said, taking a seat in one of her chairs. I think that's as good a place to start as any for today.
Sylvia looked like she wanted to argue, or pout.
Were you expecting me to not wish to? Alex asked, getting comfortable.
Partially. Last time you wouldn't even consider it, Sylvia admitted.
Then she pointed a finger at him.
You do this to keep me off balance, she hissed at him.
I do indeed. My goal is to have you spread eagle naked on a bed every night till your hips give out. Getting you as off balance as possible is a good way to make that happen. I don't see a problem in my strategy. Do you?
Alex set his hands in his lap and locked his eyes to hers as he spoke.
Sylvia's face became scarlet, her finger still hanging in midair, pointing at him.
Straightening her shoulders, she let her hand fall to her side.
I suppose not. I'd do the same. Your little wife must have noticed something in what I said or did. I didn't reveal anything, though, Sylvia said, looking annoyed. For you to change tactics and admit it like this.
If you must know, she likes you. Though her opinion was that all I need to do is to sit on you and wait. Apparently everything you were doing previously is still spiraling further and further out of control. We can keep playing this until I get what I want, or you could try to broker a better deal now. Up to you, Alex said with a casual shrug of his shoulders.
Sylvia started to chew at her lower lip, her fingers tightening on her forearms as she stood there.
How about you take a seat, hmm? Obviously, I have no ill intentions and would never harm you. No need to stand so far away. Have I mentioned you look well cared for and quite pretty today? Alex said, without a trace of deceit. She really had cleaned up extraordinarily well. The appearance of a very well-put-together young noblewoman who might be courting for a husband.
Sylvia let out a quick breath through her nose, then went and sat down next to him, crossing one ankle over the other.
Thank you, she said, still clearly quite angry. I thought it would help if I made sure to look nice, that maybe you'd go easy on me for what I wanted.
Not a bad plan, though you've seen my wife. I'm a bit spoiled as of late, Alex said with a grin. Though you are beautiful, Sylvia.
Sylvia wrinkled her nose at that.
For a simple woman, it's not quite fair with what she's been given to work with.
Well, Alex asked.
I'll wait. I don't think my situation as dire as you and your wife seem to think. I can get out of this, Sylvia said, her determination firming up as she spoke.
As you like. In the end, it's all the same to me. More a matter of when than if.
Sylvia shook her head once, as if dismissing his words. Now, about me owning things, or at least having possessions while I am to remain here?
Can we qualify that a bit? Is there any limit to the possessions?
Anything a noble lady would have need of to pass the time, make herself ready, or to simply have. Nothing your own wife wouldn't have, I imagine.
That's a fair clarification, Alex said, nodding his head. There wasn't much room for misunderstanding there. I suppose the point of discussion, then, is price.
I will not negotiate for anything involving your bed. That's simply out of the picture, Sylvia said with a bit of iron.
That's fine, Alex said dismissively, thinking on the situation. There were always the normal deals, such as having her take the name tag, collar, and calling him master. It'd be mostly only a step away from the final deal. That reminds me. I need to go through your wardrobe and pick out what you're allowed to wear, don't I?
Alex said, looking to the armoire. I'd hoped my current style would be acceptable. I do believe I look rather good in it. You yourself complimented me, no?
I'll leave most of it alone, though I'm sure I can find something for you to wear just for me.
Alex looked back to Sylvia with a grin. Of course you'd do that, she said, a small smile on her face. At least make it flattering?
On my honor, you'll look quite fetching. Ravishing, even. Now, price. It's rather simple. We'll move this up a step in my game, Alex said, leaning toward her. I have a hairdresser coming tomorrow to style your hair in the fashion I see fit. In addition, I'll have that collar we talked about ready for you, as well as your name tag. You'll adopt the name Four. You'll respond to it. Live it. Be it. And of course, you'll simply address me as master going forward.
And so goes Sylvia, said the woman with a soft sigh. And I can always say no, as you say, and nothing would happen?
Correct. It's all your choice.
The collar, tag, and what you pick out for me will match? Can you at least make sure the collar matches the rest of my clothes?
I'll buy you several collars, just to make sure. Maybe even let you pick out one for yourself.
Sylvia pressed a hand to her brow, then nodded her head once. Fine. I do so swear and agree on our previous oath to the deal you've listed.
Wonderful, Four. I'm glad to hear it. I accept your oath and agree to the price. Now, let's go take a look at your clothes. Then we can shop for a collar together. I'll let you call me master in public and everything. We can really show them all that you're a lovely and devoted concubine.
Sylvia groaned and closed her eyes. I really am your concubine, in all but deed.
It's all right. You're not the first, nor even the last. I'll treat you very well. Now, clothes. Valeria, Carla, Riley, and Nanny were all waiting for him in his room. For a single moment, Alex felt like it'd be better to turn around and leave. That maybe he could get away, and whatever it was they wanted, he could avoid.
Master! Riley said loudly, bouncing up out of her chair and scurrying over to him.
Alex smiled at her, giving up on that plan. 1, 2, 3, 5. Good to see you. Should you really be up and about, too? Alex asked.
Carla shrugged her shoulders. She was dressed in a nightshirt and seemed comfortable, at least, on the sofa.
I'm okay. This isn't too much.
I'd smash her into the bed if I thought she couldn't handle it, Nanny said.
She's a big girl, though. She can handle it.
Carla flicked a look to Nanny, then back to Alex. He wasn't quite sure what had passed there, but it was a different relationship than he remembered them having. Riley fell upon him, enveloping his arm in hers, and dragging him over to where the others were.
We were discussing who we want to hire. I have all my girls lined up and ready. Mistress Anna approved them all in the end, including those who would be serving her. Though she did make me send a few back and pick others at first. She said they weren't pretty enough for you, just in case. I just need you to approve them all and swear them into your service, Riley said.
She released his arm from her embrace long enough to push him down into the love seat. Then she promptly squished in beside him, latching onto his arm again.
One, you should probably give Master a little bit of room, no?
Valeria asked, quirking a brow at the other woman.
If Mistress Anna shows up, you'll have to move anyways.
Riley glowered at Valeria, but didn't release him.
As you like, Valeria said, then turned to Alex. I myself have found several recruits I wish to run by you. I think they'll serve appropriately.
The nasty cunt and I have someone we want you to look at as well, Nanny said.
She was standing behind the sofa, pointing at Carla. We think she'll be useful as a third. Between the two of us, we can cover a lot, but, as we found out when Stupid got her head bashed in, a third would be useful.
I swear to the gods, you stupid, hulking brute with a gash between your legs. I'll pull your tongue out through your asshole, Carla growled, glaring up at Nanny.
The ex-murderess stared at the ex-merciless bandit, then abruptly shrugged her shoulders with a smile.
Nasty cunt. Scrawny twat, Carla said back with a grin.
Then they returned to staring at Alex silently. Alex pressed a hand to his face.
Stop.
Fine. Everyone can bring their people by me and we'll talk it out. I don't really want to deal with this, though. Just come to me with your deal and what you'll pay them. I'm no middle manager. I don't care about this. The only one I'm concerned about is the third bodyguard.
We can do that, Master, Riley said, pressing as close as she probably could against his side,
her breasts practically smashed into his shoulder.
I think it was an error to let them get this close.
Possibly.
The response was so shocking, Alex didn't know what to think at first.
Wait, what? Leah?
Sometimes, not always. I'm just bored.
Alex felt like he was going to explode his molars with the force he was grinding his teeth.
Go away.
Tell your husband you want him to color you with his favorite body paint and walk you around town naked.
Not a bad idea. I'll go ask. He was doing something dumb anyways.
Okay, first up on Alex's needs list, he said, taking a deep breath. It's Three's turn, Carla immediately said. Riley nodded her head at his side.
Gee, thanks, Valeria muttered. Even if it is my turn, no need to throw me to the wolf.
Okay, not what I was going to say. At all, Alex grumbled.
I can take her place, Riley said.
If she could get any closer at this point, he'd practically be wearing her.
I haven't performed my duty for you yet.
Stop. Listen, Alex said through gritted teeth. First, I need someone to get a hold of Walter. I don't think we have enough Mother's Bane. We might as well either get a steady supply or plan some, one or the other.
I can do that, Riley said. Walter likes me.
Great. Second, I need a map updated with whatever information we have on Count Ridge. I'm not sure I want to let him regroup.
What?
Carla asked.
I know Nanny beat down his champion impressively, but that doesn't mean anything, does it?
The duel was for titles. He should have forfeited his county to me. The more time I give him to reinforce himself, the harder it'll be to take his land, Alex explained. The old duke didn't uphold the agreement.
We're going to attack him? Valeria asked.
That's number three on the list. I need to meet with our new duchess as soon as she's back, and then probably the king. I'll need a courier with a fast dispatch. I may end up just squatting in her ducal home waiting for her.
I'll take care of that, Master, Valeria said. It'll give me a chance to try out one of my new recruits anyways.
Last but not least, could someone find Holly for me and send her this way? I haven't seen her, and I know she came back from her father's today, right?
Yes, Master, Carla said, nodding her head.
She should be back. I wouldn't mind going for an easy walk. I can take care of that.
Dress appropriately first, Alex said, indicating her mostly uncovered self.
Jealous? She asked, a smile blossoming on her face.
Insanely. You'll cover up from head to toe if I think for a moment you'll try to use that against me.
All right, you have your tasks. Thanks, everyone. Riley leaned up and kissed him on the cheek, then bounced away. Valeria gave him a small wave of her fingers with a smile and followed the other woman out the door. Carla got up slowly and went back to her room.
What do I do? Everyone else has a task. I don't. So, anything?
Nanny asked.
You?
Well, you could strip for me. I've been wondering how much you've got under that tunic of yours. I'm betting it's squishing them pretty tightly, and you're sporting more than you're letting on.
Or you could go crawl into my bed. I'm sure I could come over and start in on some personal attention for you.
Alex snapped his fingers and held out a palm, indicating the space in front of himself.
Or if you're feeling particularly service-oriented, come over here and kneel down.
Nanny's face went dark red. Then she lifted a hand and pointed at him.
One day you will get what you ask for, and you'll see you can't handle it, Nanny said.
I'm ever waiting for that day.
Is it today, perchance? I'm up for the challenge. Think we could finish up before Holly shows up? Or is it more fun to wait for her to show up?
For whatever reason, he couldn't help it. He wanted to flirt and hit on Nanny constantly. She reacted so poorly that it just reinforced his desire to do so.
I really will kill you.
You've said that a number of times now, so which option are you going to take?
Leave, Nanny said, then abruptly left. As the door slammed shut, Alex shrugged.
Well, that was fun. 30 minutes later, Holly entered the study, followed by Carla. Thankfully, she realized Alex wanted to be alone with Holly and bowed out to her private room.
Husband? Holly asked, bowing her head to him and coming to sit across from him.
Are you happy? Alex asked, watching the young woman closely. She paused, her eyes looking anywhere but at him.
I am content.
But not happy.
I'm my husband's wife. I am given all that I need, and my family is cared for. I am very content,
Holly said, as if that explained everything. What if I offered you a divorce and asked for nothing in return from you or your family? Alex said, deciding to cut straight to it. Anna had been right, of course. Holly was not much more than a puppet. If he ordered her to sleep with every maid in his keep, it was likely she'd be working on that from sunup to sundown.
Holly frowned, her face a mask of worry. You've done nothing wrong. I just find that maybe we don't mesh that well. I wouldn't ask you to continue down this path any further. Bearing a child isn't something you can undo, after all.
Would you want that? A divorce? An amicable one?
Holly let out a shuddering breath, then held up her hands as if in defeat. I worry for answering you honestly, and what you would do to me afterward. But I have never seen you act cruelly, ruthlessly in your deals and how you work, but never cruel. What would be the reason for the divorce? The peerage frowns on that to a degree.
You could claim it was on your part, and that you heard tale of me sleeping around during the campaign. It's reasonable and true, Alex said easily. It's not ideal, but it'd give you a valid excuse.
Most noblemen have mistresses. It isn't unheard of at all.
No, but it's reasonable for a lower house noblewoman to back out with that type of excuse. I don't think you'll suffer much for it. If anything, it might give your family a bit more on the status side of things, though you might need some time to find a second husband willing to take all that on.
Holly nodded her head slowly.
I would accept. It is not that you're a poor husband. It's simply that you're not who I would choose for myself, Alex, Holly said, finally meeting his eyes.